So I'm going to be preaching on something that is really foundational and basic to the Christian walk of faith. It's really the absolute foundation and cornerstone of everything that we believe in. I just want to encourage you, if you've been a Christian for a long time, it might be tempting to just kind of think, oh, I'm just going to switch off at this moment because actually I know the gospel. But if you're here, it's about the assurance of salvation. I think that's what I want to get at today, is being assured of your position in Christ. It's your assurance of being with God that I really want to get into. And I will be covering a lot of scripture. Part of the series, there's going to be 5 weeks where people talk about one verse, but they also look at how that verse works in the context of scripture. And the idea is that we would memorize some of the verses. So I'm going to encourage you to try to memorize the verses that we bring. I always think and I'm impressed when I read like people who are in prison or something like that, not in the UK, but in nations where you're not allowed scripture. We're very spoiled in the UK. I was thinking this yesterday, actually. I had my Bible app and I can create pictures with Bible verses and all of this and the other. I can do whatever I want because I've just got scripture there on my phone, in Bibles. I've got about 10 Bibles at home, all different translations with different little people commenting on them. But I know there's many nations and many places where that isn't the case. And I don't want us to be a nation that doesn't learn scripture by heart because we have the luxury of just being able to Google it. It's so important. Scripture is such the bread of everything we believe. And when we go through good times, it's good to remember the scripture that is in the Word of God. And it's good to remember when you're in difficult times as well, actually, to be able to call and reflect on scripture and memorize verses, which actually in those moments will speak into those situations. So I've got it written down, but I'm going to turn it over because I'm going to try and memorize this verse for you. So I've been trying all week to remember this. I'm not the best at remembering things. So 1 John 5:11-12, and it says, and I've not got it written down. You can... It's going to face that way. So I'm wasting time. I've only got 20 minutes. So it says, "This is my testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son of God." That's 11. Hallelujah. And 12 is, "Whoever has the Son has this life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have this eternal life." Did I get it? Hallelujah. Sorry.
You don't need it anymore.
I've memorized it. Hallelujah. This verse is really powerful and it's a great assurance, but I'm not going to talk hugely about that verse. I'm going to go through lots of verses because what I want us to reflect on is actually salvation isn't just one verse. It's not just one verse that I'm cherry picking to say, actually, this is what salvation is. It's the melody of the whole of Scripture, that God is the God of salvation, is the melody from beginning to the end. And so I will go through lots of different verses today from lots of different books. And that's kind of what this will be like. It'll be a bit like a Bible study. Because I think that is where we actually get assurance from, actually. When we know it's not just me making it up, but actually the very word of God is spoken, then I think we can get that assurance into our lives a lot better. Now, I want you to imagine just quickly a situation. And some of you might have been in this situation. I hope not. But there's a situation where... So some people will have vivid imagination, so let me run it riot. So I want you to imagine that you've been called to your doctor's and you go into your doctor's surgery and you sat there in the waiting room and then the doctor calls you in and you sit down in front of the doctor and the doctor says to you, okay, I'm really sorry, but actually in a week's time, in 7 days, you are going to die. There's nothing I can do about it, and I'm sorry. I want you to think about actually what position you'll be in emotionally in that moment, but then put the emotions to side and just think actually what questions would go through your head in those 7 days. What would you be asking? What would you be thinking? What questions would arise? And I hope that one of the questions would be, I presume it would be, like, what's going to happen after I die? What's going to happen when I am not here any longer? What's going to happen when I meet my maker? And although that isn't a comfortable question to ask, sometimes it It's the question that we need to be asking. When I stand in front of my maker, what is going to happen? What is the consequence of my life? And that'd be one of the many questions. If you've been in that situation, I apologize for bringing something back, but actually you're still here, so praise the Lord. Unless it was within the last 7 days, and then I'll pray for you, we'll pray for you. So there's this problem that we face as humans. And the problem is on the next slide. The Bible teaches in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." And then Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." So there's a reality that all of us are in a situation where actually we all know that we have sinned, and the Bible tells us that we have sinned, but actually I'm sure each and every single one of us knows from the walk that we walk that on occasions that we live in a place where we sin, in a place where we don't do exactly what God would have intended us to do. And what that does is that causes separation between God and man. It causes us to be separated from him. It causes there to be a void there that cannot be overcome. You see, while we know that God is a loving God, a kind God, a merciful God, he's also a God of justice. And we as people wouldn't want that to be any other way. We would want God to be just. We would want justice. In every situation, we want justice to come by. And scripture says that actually for the just thing to happen, the wage of my sin is for death to happen. Death being eternal separation or separation from God. So for justice to happen, when I stand in front of my maker, justice would say that actually I should be given the penalty of death or separation, eternal separation from God. That's what scripture teaches. Now, many religions or things or the way that even people think, they think that actually I could be a really good person. I could behave really well. I could try my hardest not to sin. I could do my best. And this is what religion often teaches people. It teaches people that my behavior, that if I'm a really good person, then actually God will probably have mercy on me. I mean, look at me compared to Steve. I'm a better person than Steve. Look at me compared to someone. I'm not better than you, Steve. I'm sorry. That was just an easy pick because you're there. And actually, but our comparison is often other people around us. And that's a poor comparison. That's not the comparison we're asked to do. It says that the penalty or the wages of sin is death. So actually, whatever sin that I've done, the deserving penalty for that is death. Whether I'm better than Steve or not, the penalty is death. There's nothing that I can do to earn myself away, because actually I've sinned and the penalty for that is death. So I've sinned. We all know we've sinned. The penalty for it is death. Thankfully, that is not the melody of Scripture. The melody of Scripture turns it all on its head. Because then we move into the solution. And I could have put hundreds of verses up for this. But 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." Romans 6:23, we began it before, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have eternal life." You see, these verses that I've used to bring that kind of that feeling of guilt, what I love about them is they all turn around. God turns them all around. So Romans 3:23, where it says that you, it says that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then goes on to actually say, but by grace you have been saved. You see, when you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. He went to that cross and he died in your place. He took the punishment that you deserved and he took it on himself and he died in your place. He was nailed to that cross and he died. A death that we deserved, he took upon himself. That's what scripture would teach us. It says the righteous one, the one who came down, the only one who has ever lived and not sinned, the one who is righteous and in right standing with God, took our sin upon him. How good is that? How glorious is that gospel message? The gospel message that Jesus paid it all. And that means that when I die, that I can stand in front of my Maker and I can say, I've put my trust in Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. And God won't look upon your sin any longer, but he'll look upon the righteousness of Christ, which has paid the price for you. That is an absolutely beautiful message. It's not about me succeeding and doing well and earning my salvation. I cannot earn it. I don't deserve it. It's his grace so free upon me. Last week I mentioned that I've been meditating a lot on Ephesians 2. And I just want to read Ephesians 2, 1 to 9 to us because it's absolutely beautiful. So it says, Ephesians 2, 1 to 9 says this, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated, and he is seated with us. Sorry. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Do you know, salvation is an absolute miracle. Absolute miracle. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. Dead. Nothing you could do about it. Absolutely dead. But God, being rich in mercy and his love for you, made you alive together with Christ. So while there's a melody all through Scripture, salvation is also momentary. For each and every one of us, there is a moment where the truth of the gospel comes to us and we have a choice to repent and believe or a choice to reject it. And if we repent and believe, it says that we get eternal life. And that is an option open for all people. As you hear the gospel, it's your choice how you react to and reflect on it. God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son so that you could have eternal life. So the assurance can be that actually you can be assured on these words that if you've put your trust in Christ your Savior, you have salvation. There will be moments later where we give people the opportunity to respond to the gospel. Because as a church, we believe that actually, as we give those moments, and as you say, actually, I trust in Jesus, my Savior, then you, at that moment, get salvation. Eternal life enters you at that moment. The verse for today, so on the next slide, going back to the verse for today, this is our testimony that God gave. It's a done thing. You've been given eternal life if you've accepted Jesus. You're now in eternal life. You may die in the physical, but you will enter an eternity to be with God. You will never die completely. You are no longer condemned. Romans 8:1 says, I am no longer condemned. For those who are in Christ Jesus have no condemnation. Praise God for that. But I want to take it one step further. Because there's a couple of tricky verses that I just want to talk about. So Matthew 7. Matthew 7:21. This is Jesus speaking to people. This is Jesus speaking to people who thought they were Christian or thought they were believers, thought they were mainly Jews, so Pharisees, who thought that they were very learned and very much going to heaven. Matthew 7:21 reads, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. And then it goes on, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And then Matthew 25:32 is quite a famous verse where it says this, before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be to my left, the goats to my right. The goats will go to be condemned and the sheep will be saved. Now, this is difficult because Jesus is there preaching this to the people who will be before his throne who think that they're saved. So how do we know, actually, if we have accepted Jesus or not? How do we know whether we're a sheep or a goat? I think there's a reality in both of these verses. So Matthew 25 talks about the shepherd and his sheep. There's another scripture where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So in John 10, he talks about, I am the good shepherd. The sheep know my voice and they follow me. They won't follow anyone else, they will follow me. Matthew 7:21 ends with, I never knew you. So the question is this, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, have you now made him the Lord of everything? Is he now your shepherd? Do you listen to his voice and follow him? Do you get guidance from him? Do you follow him with all of your heart? Do you give him your life and your soul and everything? Do you give him your finances, your money? Do you give him your relationships and all of that? Is he number one in your life? Are you following what he has to say to you? The question is, do you know Jesus? Do you know that melody singing through your life? One of the greatest witnesses is actually when the gospel isn't just, oh, I was saved May 89. It was brilliant, fantastic. It is all right now. No, it's, I was saved here and actually have grown up. And now I'm amazed even more at the wonder of the gospel than I was ever before. Are those verses in the scripture, oh, it's a bit boring, John 3:16, everyone knows that. Or is it, wow, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son for me, that he loved me. Are you amazed by his scripture? Are you growing in that amazement of scripture? Are you knowing him? One of the things that actually is conviction of sin as well. You might become more aware of your sin than when you didn't know Jesus. And that might be the opposite of what you think. But actually, you might realize because the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin. It's not condemnation once you're in Christ. It's a conviction of sin. And so actually that might become more aware as you're a Christian. It should be more aware. Actually, I've sinned and now I feel convicted. And that is a way of knowing that God is working on you and you're following him and he's following you. And you know, you're working together towards your salvation. I've already gone over my time, so I'm going to stop talking. Let me just pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're the God of salvation. I thank you that your scripture is a melody of how you came down to earth to die in our place for our sins and took them upon yourself, Lord Jesus. I thank you that that is a melody of the Father's love towards us, that you so love us, Father, that you're passionate and your heart is towards us, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would stir us on, Lord. I pray that you would be our Lord. We would make you Lord of our lives completely, Lord Jesus. We want to live for you and persevere in you, Lord Jesus. I pray that these words would be powerful in our lives, Lord. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.